Hi, this is Kalyan Karmakar.
Hi, this is Kurush Nilal.
And we are here to present
K&K Big Food.
Yes, it's actually been 2 weeks, almost 2 weeks since we recorded. So I had a bit of a brain freeze and said, oh God, what's the name of our podcast? before we sort of landed with egg on our face, which is the topic of today's podcast. Because Kurush was very excited with his eggs or his wife's eggs.
Okay.
In case you wanted.
We're going to get censored by the family channels.
Yeah. So the demerit poach, which he had. And I had eggs for breakfast as well, which I always do. So for me, the variation is either demerit poach or omelette. And today our cook made the omelette. And what was interesting was that normally Indian cooks, and what are they saying? Indians, listen, make onsa, whatever. But you know, we tend to like normally overcook our omelets, but again, we tend to not overcook our omelets, but most do. But she also doesn't like make that overcooked omelet, so like you know, there's that sort of softness to it, and the onions and tomatoes have that little bit of spike. And Kurush, you had demerit poach. But our demerit poach is not exactly the one which goes on the egg benedict, is that? And you found that to a bit of a shock.
So I found it quite, it was quite a shock to me because I'm newly married and my mother-in-law asked me whether I'd like, demerit poach. So I said, what? So I said, no, egg poach. Huh. I said, yes, I love poached eggs. And I've got this whole backstory on poached eggs, you know. So I was like, yes, wow, poached eggs. I had no clue that they liked them also. And then I got fried eggs. I was like, but you said demerit poach. But this is demerit bhaja kind of thing.
Deem bhaja.
And I was told on very good authority that Bengalis call fried eggs poached eggs. I said, no, can't be. This must be some idiosyncrasy in your family. Yeah. Then I found out, much to my surprise, that no, Bengalis actually call fried eggs poached eggs. The rest of the world calls them fried eggs. Half fry, double half fry, double fry, whatever. But
also bullseye and sunny side up.
Sunny side up. But the Bengalis call them poached eggs.
So just to give you a bit of a backstory, guys, Kurush is Parsi and married to Bengali. I'm Bengali, married to a Parsi. And these are the two communities which if possible, they might even erect a temple to the goddess egg, or Deem as we call it, Edu as they call it. And it sort of runs in a blood. Yes, you're talking
I'm
about...
I'm sure that Edu is one of the patron saints. Or there's a patron saint of Edu for sure.
Yeah.
And I just have to look it up. So yeah. You know, what I love about the fact is that this is one of the best sources of protein.
Hmm.
It's an easily available source of protein. It doesn't take up, you know, to be a little technical and a little serious about it. It's such a good thing to eat. Yes. I mean, it's got fat, it's got protein, it's got good stuff for you. And, you know, even the heart doctors are now coming around to the fact that eggs are good. Eggs are not bad. And as long as you're not eating like 16 egg breakfasts, a la Rusi Modi, then you're good, with a couple of eggs for breakfast. And you start off the day with a meal that is more protein and less carbohydrate. I'm not trying to knock a poha or a upma or a sabudana khichdi, but that's pure carb.
Or do it the Parsi way, where have pohe pe idu, pohe par idu. So
par idu that I've never had.
So I'll tell you my post story. So we'd moved into Calcutta in 1980-81, and from Iran. And at that time, like we were still in the house which my dad was building. Later, we moved to Dhakuria because it was pretty far off from his practice. So this was at Sonarpur. So I had come in with my egg cup, which I'd brought from England, and a little egg spoon. And my mom would make like either half boiled or quarter boiled, and delicately tap it, like a 80. So which would mean I would be about 6 years old, 7 years old. And then one day, my Thakuma, which is my late paternal grandmother. So I was a very fussy eater, and I didn't want to eat whatever was there at home that afternoon. So she said, okay, I'll make you something called demerit poach. So she, at that time, was using the coal fire ovens. And my dad had got this rather fancy oven built in that house for his mom. But it was coal fired. But, you know, it was really fancy. Like, it was made with cement and there were like three burners and there was a chimney and all that, because he got all these ideas from the West. And then, but it was, you know, unun and with, you know, coal and stuff. So she made me, you know, a fried egg and then mustard oil and with salt, pepper and all that. And she said, it's a dimer poch. Now, I was like 6-7 years old at that time, so I hadn't really come across a poch or whatever. And I really liked it because, you know, the white and then the yellow in its, the yolk or kushum, as we call it, in its pristine glory. And then I liked it so much that I think I had two more. And then my grandmother told me the story, which I think all of us who've grown up in the 70s, 80s have heard a similar story. So she said that, you know, my dad and siblings, so that were the two brothers, three sisters, yeah. So they were totally about six siblings. So my grandmom said that, you know, you're so lucky and you're being fussy about the food, but when your father was growing up, and your grandfather was in the police and with a very meager salary, then we would buy one egg and that egg would be divided between the six brothers. Have you heard those sort of stories, Kurush?
Yeah, but the one egg between six is like really pushing it.
But we are from the Minal Sen state.
Yeah, definitely not poetic license. So, you know, when I was growing up, I spent a lot of time with my maternal grandmother. I didn't have a maternal grandmother. She passed away before my parents got married. And at my maternal grandmother's house, we Parsis eat something called par idu. So it basically means eggs upon. So these eggs can be upon anything. Yeah. Essentially, it was a way of getting rid of leftover vegetables from the night before, or making fussy Parsi children and husbands eat their bloody vegetables by cracking an egg on top in such a way that the egg was bonded to the vegetables and you had to eat the vegetables. It's a great way of getting rid of your leftovers, and especially Kalyan's famous hashtag, love your leftovers. So you make them on all kinds of things. In fact, at my house, I actually would have people make specific vegetable bases so that we could make it. Hmm. And it's also something that you put quickly together, a wafer paridu or a sali paridu, you know, when you want to jazz up a rather boring dinner or something. So my grandmother's house, it would always be what was called a fentelu idu, a beaten egg with a little dollop of milk. She'd beat it up with salt and she'd pour it over the vegetable and then cover it and let it cook.
So is that a bit like what goes into the keema ghotala? Because the keema ghotala is a scramble, no?
No, it wouldn't be scrambled. It would be layered on top. Okay. So the top would have the egg layer. Then there would be the kind of, you know, egg and vegetable layer, and then there would be the vegetable layer.
So it's almost like a cheesy layer of a bake on top.
Yeah. So I kind of was quite surprised that I'd never remembered eating these fetela idas when my mother made anything parinu. So when I was about 5 or 6, one day I sat down and said, you know, mom, why don't you make parinu like granny makes it? Why do you always make it with the sunny sides up on them?
In the inner parinu.
And she gave me this withering look. And my mother was a master at the withering look, okay?
And grandma, sorry, is your mom's mom only?
Mom's mom only.
So it's not that you're praising her mom.
No, I'm not praising.
So it's not this.
Sasu or something like that. So I got this absolutely withering look. And she said, in my house, we will never have fetela ida. So then maybe after she calmed down a little, I asked her, I said, what's the score? And she said, basically, while growing up, very similarly to your grandmother's story, my grandfather actually did 2 and 3 jobs at a time sometimes to make ends meet. And
We are laughing about it, but they really worked very hard.
I keep telling people my grandparents lived in Bandra because they were poor. You know, today when I say this, people laugh, but in those days, Bandra was the boonies.
Yes.
And it was across the creek. Yes. And, Granny would use 2 or 3 eggs in those days with a dash of water and a dash of milk. Okay, and beaten up really well into a froth to do a paridu for 5 or 6 people in the house. So my mother always remembered this, that we didn't have money and therefore this was the poor man's version. beaten eggs, that they would go further. You know, how to make 3 eggs feed 6 people.
In a way, the similar concept as having mincemeat and keema versus, you know, chunks of meat. Yeah.
Completely. You know, adding potatoes to your sabji.
Aloo, of course. Yeah.
And, you know, making...
No, but I'm saying this entire act of beating is almost like mincing meat because the meat then spreads.
It's like an egg drop, you know.
Yeah.
Being an egg drop in a curry or something like that. So, Parsis would very often, very much like Bengalis, also have egg curries. Because you couldn't afford fish or prawns or mutton or chicken. So you just dropped a few boiled eggs and gave everybody a boiled egg of their own, your own boiled egg to eat, you know, which was like a big treat.
Yeah, and it was like one egg when you're growing up. So I remember when I stayed with my aunt when I was in high school and she had just started working and she'd make omelets with 2 eggs. And I was like, wow!
Totally, no. So I was in my 10th when I started getting 2 eggs for breakfast. And that also, I had to request a second egg. May I have 2 eggs for breakfast?
The Bengali logic was paid godom hoye abhi. Like if you have 2 eggs, your stomach will become hot.
But this was Parsis. We could digest any amount of eggs. It was just that we couldn't afford as many eggs as we would like to digest. I still remember, you know, this is another thing, Kalyan, which, you know, I bond a lot with people like you and a lot of urban Bengalis for. That eggs for breakfast is very taken for granted. It's not a shocking thing.
Yeah.
For most of India, eggs for breakfast is considered a very Western or an English breakfast thing.
Yes.
You know, growing up and going to school, every morning was an egg, bread and butter, egg, bread and cheese, egg, bread and jam, or just egg and bread if there was nothing else.
Exactly.
And, you know, sometimes we were really hungry, you ate 3 pounds with one egg.
Yes.
If you were not, you ate 2 pounds with one egg.
No one told us that 3 pow is bad, and 3 pow can never be bad.
That's just it.
3 pow can never be bad.
And if you were lucky, there was sliced bread, and then there was toast, and butter.
And I also like the Parsi way. Like, I also see that in Kenaz's house, and yesterday when I had lunch at Binda's house with Binda Mela, with Kunal and Vijaykar and Shekhar, that, you know, the pow is then made into slices, you know? And you know, so when you sit there, all the slices, and then you take as much, you know? You know, I'll just interject and just say 2 points over here. One is over the last, thanks to intermittent fasting, I have become the Pard Idu expert. And not of my intermittent fasting, I believe in intermittent eating, but Kainaz is right now doing some form of that. So, which means that she normally has her first meal of the day around 4 o'clock, you know, and stuff, because we also have dinner late and stuff like that. So, and she normally tries to break her fast with an egg because the dietitian told her it's a complete meal, like you said. And then one day there was some bhaji, which is what you guys call methi or saag and all of that. So I made her a bhaji parida. So, and she really liked it. So since then I've made bhaji parida. Then I've made like bhida paridu. Sometimes she asked for it. Then one day she said there was keema and chicken keema. She said, make me chicken keema paridu. So I said, do you mean a ghotala? Because ghotala is like, you know, beaten. And she said, no, paridu. And then on Monday, I had some chips left from my candy's breakfast on Sunday, some wafers. So I decided to make wafer paridu. And she said, add a bit of drop of water. And oh my God. I mean, you know. And the other thing you said about eggs, you know, and Bengalis. So it's a bit reassuring to hear that because, you know, when you read about Bengali food and media and the diaspora or, you know, heritage articles, memory articles, you will think that the only thing which Bengalis had every morning was luchi and alur dom. And if it was winter, then koreshuri, kochuri, and alur dom. And maybe
parota.
Pitai parota or tinkuja parota and stuff like that. But my mom didn't make those, and she couldn't really make rotis and parathas. Only in lockdown she taught herself. So and also, you know, she grew up in Delhi, then post marriage England, and then we came to this thing. So for me, breakfast right from childhood was first of all egg in a cup with toast, and then you dip the toast,
bake
it, and then butter, and dip it in that. The soldiers.
The long soldiers.
So that is one.
Yes.
Then of course omelette and bread. Then if you're traveling, it would be boiled egg with butter, pepper, and in bread. And then something called French toast. And I used to love that. And I saw a version of that in front of Nizam's College, the Nizam's Palace in Calcutta, where my international school was. I believe international school is in bypass. And I was shocked to hear that Nizam Palace, which was and the lovely building behind that, which was my school, international school, lovely British Downton Abbey building, which had Queen Victoria's portrait and all of Elizabeth's portrait, is now a parking lot of a mall.
Sad.
I mean, that's ridiculous. Sad. I mean, Angrez chale gaye to uska ghar ko parking lot bana diya. So anyway, so in front of that, we used to have bean paru tea, which the things used to make and all that. So one day in Mumbai, years later, and you know, I was in some fancy cafe and I ordered for French toast. And it was sweet. Then I went to a Belgian cafe in Melbourne and the French toast was sweet. Then I went to England and we were in some hotel in London, breakfast, French toast was sweet. Mandarin the French toast was sweet. And yeah, like, I don't think the French know how to make French toast. What's your take on that, Purush, on the French toast? And you know, I used to add liver sometimes when there's leftover liver and make it on Sunday for my brother and mom. Even now, whenever I miss that home food, I make French toast. When I'm feeling low, I make French toast. Sometimes I add cheese to it. Sometimes I add chilies to it. Sometimes a bit of mushrooms, this, that. Kalyan, but it's salt.
Quantify
no sugar.
It's a savory French toast.
No sugar. No sugar poured on this. Okay. Even if the French toast says pour some sugar on me, I will say no sugar. I'm not pouring some French sugar on me.
Go back there, French toast. So, this is another thing, like the famous Dimel Poch.
Mm.
The Bengali French toast is the only French toast which is not sweet. So, growing up as a Parsi, French toast was a maybe once or twice a year thing that happened. The whole family would be there. It would be a late breakfast. And my mother would make platters and platters of, you know, beautifully crunchy French toast where powdered sugar, vanilla, milk and eggs had been beaten together. Slices had been dipped in and were fried in a nice neutral oil usually or in butter. And sugar was sprinkled on top and it was not powdered sugar. The sugar was sprinkled on top and the platter would come out. And
like chini in toast butter. Yeah. Toast butter ka chini, yeah.
So crunch, before, the crunch would be before good. You could say French toast, everybody had snagged one and they were gone. And the platter was ready to be refilled. And my mother was like, damn, I just gave it to them. So French toast days were bad days. But my mom had to make a lot of French toast. But then normally it would be a very simple lunch.
Yeah.
I mean. So again, the first time I was in Kolkata, I had two rude shocks. So we were married. We'd gone down to Ria's aunt and uncle's house, her father's house as such. And the first day they asked me whether I'd have an omelette for breakfast.
I think one shock you've spoken about, which is the biryani.
No.
Which is the cousins I got you.
Morning shock.
Okay.
So I said, yeah, I'd love an omelette and bread for breakfast. You know, omelette and bread. I mean, how can you go wrong with omelette and bread?
The omelette was even Indian Railways can't go wrong with that.
The omelette was a nice omelette. There was onions. She asked me whether I like tomatoes because Ria doesn't. There was some chilies in it. There was a little bit of haldi and chili powder. Salt, really nice omelette, gorgeous. With it were these tiny slices of bread, like kind of like
Priya. I mean, those local breads, yes, plastic breads.
Tiny slices, which I only remember. As a good Bombay boy, are the breads which we call milk bread.
yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, and Priya was one of the companies I remember.
So I was like, okay, this is a little odd. It's a good thing she didn't ask me how many toasts I was going to eat because I would have said two or three and then, you know, not known what to do with these bite sized
15. Bread.
And then I bit into my first toast and it was sweet by itself, just regular bread. It was sweet bread.
That I don't remember though, because there was street bread and there was a loaf which was small.
No, it's sweeter than, it's not as sweet as milk bread.
So
I was like, odd, these Bengalis don't seem to know what bread is all about. Mm-hmm. Funny guys. Then of course I was asked for that like French toast.
So I said, and was the omelette fried in mustard oil? Because in our house,
the omelette was not fried in mustard oil.
Yeah, even in our house, we were a white oil.
It was called a shada tail or sweet oil or something.
Shada tail.
Yeah. And two or three days later, they decided to make French toast. I said, oh, that bread will really do well with French toast. You know, it's already sweet.
And maa ke yaad aa gaya.
Yeah, yeah. So totally like. And they made French toast. And French toast was savory. And it had onions and chilies chopped up into the batter. And I was like, no, this is great stuff. Don't get me wrong. But this ain't no French toast. No self-respecting French person would consider this a French toast. And I asked Ria, and Ria looked completely aghast when I told her that French toast are sweet. She said, are you serious? I said, yes.
Did she reconsider her choice? Was she having double
thoughts? Nah, we were married. then she was once poor thing forced.
Kenas did though. Huh? I must tell you that after her marriage, we went to Calcutta, which is fine. She survived that. And after that, we went to Goa on a, you know, our honeymoon. You know, back then, Vodafone or V or whatever it's called now, used to be Orange. And Orange used to get these discounts, coupons. So we'd use the discount coupons and went to Holiday Inn. So we stayed in Goa. Not like Mauritius and all that, which people do today. And I used the last of my frequent flyer points to fly down, up and down flyers. But with that, my balance
big.
With that, my balance went to pay that tax. I was like zero in the ATM. So then one day, you know, the hotel had a package where you can go on a sightseeing in the bus, and that was free. So we the first stop was Mapsa Market or something. And then we got off there because Kainaz wanted to shop. And she said, from there, we'll do our own stuff. So from there, when we had to get back or something, then I said, let's take a local bus. I mean, why, you know, spend on a cab or whatever? So we got into a local bus, and this is 2001. Oh yeah, 2001. So we have got on this local bus, and you know, October, so it's pretty hot and all that. Of course, not air conditioned. And then all the locals getting up, and suddenly Kainaz, who's like the only child of a you know, working middle class Parsi family, but you know, like treated like she was in Downton Abbey. Found herself beside two chicken. So these guys, and then she got off from the bus and said that, you know, this is who goes on a bus on their honeymoon, and you know, my family will never stand for this. And so finally, I did a lot of shopping for her in the flea market. And my last trip to Goa was on a bus in any case from Goa to, yeah. So you know, there's one story which she still was telling her office folks the other day doing some pitch about the buses in Goa. I don't know if things have changed in 20 years because they can add like that today might or might not be relevant.
You know,
but anyway, what were you talking about? Whether Ria reconsidered your choice.
So Ria was actually about forced to eat sweet French toast once at breakfast in the early days of her wedding, marriage, and she was quite shocked at what we considered French toast. So it was kind of mutual. But subsequently, I have become an expert at making Bengali French toast. And I see
on the Instagram feed.
I make it quite often for her. So every time I've done something terrible, I make up for it in the morning since I'm in charge of breakfast most mornings. And I make French toast for her. But mine is simply, I really like it with a little bit of milk in the eggs, salt and pepper. If I want to jazz it up, I'll put a little spice into it. But I don't like the onion tomato one that you prefer. I like mine without the vegetables.
So my mom
makes them up nicely.
My mom used to always add milk. Now I don't know whether that was a Bengali thing or something she picked up in abroad, because not just eggs but omelets and everything. But in our house now we don't consume milk. So if milk, as in we're not vegan or something, but we just don't. So if milk is there, I sometimes add to it. But otherwise, I don't, and it's I then discovered it's a nice way of refreshing bread, which is not the freshest, perhaps, like, you know, it's been in the fridge for a while. Then when I did some research, Wikipedia and all that, the two things I came across. Apparently, there are parts of England where sometimes they do have savory French eggs, French toast. I've never come across that, but accordingly do. And of course, in France, they don't call it French toast. It's called pain pardo, or P-A-I-N, this thing, which apparently means old bread refreshed.
Yes.
So without knowing all of this, I was, so that's, you know, the genes of humankind works things Same way.
You know, but I'll tell you this. All French toast needs stale bread.
Mm.
I never make French toast outside with bread that I bought the same day. I wait for the expiry date. And, you know, that's the French toast bread, because then it sucks it up. Fresh bread, which is damp, really doesn't suck in the egg.
Listen, Vikram Doctor had once written this article on French toast, which I remember reading towards the early days of my blogging. And that's when I realized that, you know, you have it outside of Calcutta also. And Sangeeta Khanna gets very upset if you call it the Bengali toast. She said, how dare you, you Bengalis appropriate everything. It's like even Bengali. Kangana Ranaut in Queenie, Queen said it's, you know, Indian toast. Huh, but the point was that Vikram Doctor said that this is apparently referred to as Bombay toast. Is that so? In Bombay? Because I've never come across that in Bombay.
It's called various things, including Bombay.
No, toast. But I've never come across this in Bombay.
Longer. Not yeah. any longer.
From 97 but, onwards, I mean,
you know, there was a time Bombay toast when and, the roadside andawalas beat eggs and pour them over. So you pour them into the tawa.
Which in Calcutta is the dim paru.
Press bread on it.
Huh.
Okay. And then you flip the bread over quickly.
So that's called dim paru.
A kind of a bread melded into the omelette. And that was very often called Bombay bread or Bombay omelette.
I wonder why it stopped. I wonder why it stopped. Because
everybody now, you know, I don't see this so much in Bombay, but I see a lot of it on YouTube. Where people are dipping the bread.
Very trendy.
Avocado. I mean, as a good person with Gujarati ancestry, I cannot face up to any fruit which is called come and take it out. Which is what avocado means in...
This is not the mama's... that is mama goto. Okay.
Coming back to the mamas. My introduction to eggs has been very weird. My grandmother had a chicken. As in a hen. And they lived on the first floor. And her name was Sherry.
First floor in Bandra?
Yeah. First floor in Bandra. She had a chicken called Sherry. And she's a beautiful, plump, little speckled bird. And Sherry lived...
no connection with our friend Sherry Mehta of
not at all.
She's not the...
Or Malhotra. Yeah. So we had Sherry living in a little box on the passage between the house and the toilets. So the toilet and the bathroom would be behind the house. Pichwari, you know, as it was called. Pachwari, as it was called. So on that little causeway was this rack and a box in which Sherry sat. And my mama would wake up in the morning and walk over to Sherry, cluck her under the chin, pick her up, and kind of gently toss her off from the first floor. And Sherry would flutter down and spend the whole day down. Every evening, she'd be back up at the stairs, at the back stairs, waiting to be let in.
Okay.
Very well-trained chicken. And then he'd pick up her egg and crack the warm egg from under Sherry directly into his mouth. And I thought that was gross going through. How can you eat a raw egg? And we also had a family friend who lived with my grandmother for many years as a paying guest. Hmm. And he liked his egg also raw, beaten into a glass of milk in the mornings.
A hangover cure.
A bit of honey.
Hangover cure. Like,
this family has some really weird... And he was married... His sister was married to my mama. So I was thinking of my mama and his wife's family, they have some weird taste in raw eggs. Much later that I realized how delicious a good eggnog can be, you know. Brandy and nutmeg, and my dad used to make them for us. And they're really fun. So eggs can be used in very versatile ways.
Even the Hollandaise sauce is kaccha anda, right? I mean, that's why they throw it off. Because
it's so tricky to make, you know, it's so simple.
And another Parsi thing I must get you to talk about, I mean, it's probably as Parsi as it's Goan as well, which we didn't come across it in Calcutta, which was, of course, the second capital of the British Empire, which is mayonnaise. Yeah. So when we got married, then my mom-in-law would often make bottles of mayonnaise and send to us, and we loved it. We'd make bakes and all that. So she was still making it at that point. Of course, we've had mayonnaise, which you've made us with honey and mustard and all of that. And then recently I was asking Candies, because, you know, there was a bird flu issue. So someone asked me that, do their mayonnaise have eggs? So they said, no, they use eggless mayonnaise because of hygiene reasons, that, you know, because their sandwiches are made and it perhaps is not consumed immediately. So, you know, egg and all that.
So, you know, when you're using
from a commercial point of view.
Egg, Mayola mayonnaise, then you can't put it in veg sandwiches.
No, the see in the chicken sandwich they can.
No, but a lot of people like it. No, so to have two mayos, one eggless and one egg,
yeah,
the fear of them getting mixed up.
No, and especially for like a commercial organization with such large.
Imagine when they have that kind of turnover and they're running around. If one of the mayo bottles gets mixed up or something, you know, they get this hell to pay.
Yeah. So tell me a bit about this Parsi thing of mayonnaise. And this is like a big tradition.
The mayonnaise maker in my family was my dad.
Okay.
And he would make mayo, and it would be a beautiful operation where he'd lay out his eggs, his sugar, his salt, his oil, you know, put up the machine. In those days, machines didn't sit on the shelf. They were normally in a cupboard.
So machine as in like mixer?
Yeah, yeah, a proper mixer. Right. And he'd take out his mixer and select his blade to a whipping blade. And it just drive my mother nuts. But he made such a superb mayonnaise that we all sucked it up. What I learned from him is that mayonnaise is an incredibly simple thing. And like all simple things, it's tricky to get right. So 1 level teaspoon of salt, 1 full spoon of sugar, okay, heaped, would go into the mixer. Then he would crack 2 eggs in. And everywhere we'll have people telling you, you must use only the yolk or only the white and nonsense like that. 2 whole eggs plopped in, straight on them.
So and both schools are happy. Egg yolk school is happy, white school is happy.
Everybody's happy. Actually, egg white doesn't really make a mayo, but never mind that.
You're like Mr. Bajpai, the late Atal Bihari.
Then he would put the lid on with the hole in it. And in a jug, he would have his oil. And he would have this.
What oil is this? Regular cooking oil?
So he would usually use what in those days was called a salad oil, which was a super neutral oil.
Okay? So, but it's not olive oil.
No, it was not olive oil. Olive oil was very difficult to get when I was a kid.
Only for kids' massages that Figaro and all that.
Figaro tins. Figaro was the only brand. I thought that olive oil and Figaro were synonymous.
It was funnily like, enough, we are using that nowadays, Figaro at home.
So it's not bad oil, no?
Yeah, no,
so, and so he dribbled that oil in slowly, and you'd see the emulsion forming. And as a kid, it was a fun thing to watch. And when he was happy with the consistency, which he would gauge by sound, so the mixer blade whirring would change its sound when the emulsion was right.
Then it becomes smoother.
It took me years to figure that out. And then he would quickly put in 2 teaspoons of white vinegar. Okay, and this beautiful yellow, slightly transparent mayonnaise would turn into this white, sparkling, opaque gloop.
So there's like alchemy, or
no,
like
completely. So that's the science of food, you know. So then he'd scoop
the reverse, like gold. You know, alchemy turns things into gold. Here you're turning gold into silver. I mean, yellow.
So he'd then scoop out the whole thing neatly into a jar, and then he'd. You know, he'd do the shakes and the bubbles would go out and all of that. And he was a perfectionist. Then he would refrigerate it. He would not eat his mayo straight up. But us kids were given the mayo jar.
To lick.
You know, the good old pow. So you put a pow inside it and you spun it around the blade and everything.
Yeah.
So you got your mayo out of it. And it's a memory. You know, I haven't thought of this for years.
Wow. So and you shared his recipe with us.
Yeah. So I started making mayo when after I moved to Pune, and had a small. Brianna had a small Black & Decker, which came with a whipping blade, and we still have it. It's great fun to make, but it makes a 1 egg mayo, guys, not a 2 egg mayo. So quantities all reduced to half, and no, there is no pre-measured quantity of oil, because it depends on the temperature. If it's hot. There's a different amount of oil that you end up using. If it's cold, there's a slightly different amount of oil that you end up using.
You need more when it's cold?
So you need a little more when it's cold. And you need
because it's more. Slightly more compressed. I'm guessing the molecules, I mean, probably it'll look the same.
So it's a minor difference. But
And then to Bombay cold.
The measurements.
That to and, Bombay cold.
So Bombay versus Pune used to be different.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that instead of sugar, you can put in a couple of spoonfuls of honey. You can put in a spoonful of mustard powder. You know, good old Atlas mustard powder, yellow plastic dabba, red lid, which we all grew up with. Put in a teaspoon of that, and that needs to sit for a day in the fridge. because it takes the mustard a little time to really
do for the flavors to go. So is this a prevalent practice in Parsi houses? Because my mom-in-law made it, you guys made it. Making mayo, is this a sort of
so
like...
Making mayo was all about making salads. So the Parsi idea of a salad, my dear Kalyan, has got no gaspos was hurt in the making of
it. No, but that is a salad we've all like candies, you know, eat around the corner. Just, so just
it was called the corner salad.
Yeah,
no salad is all the mayo. Had ever eaten it. Chopped fruits, chopped boiled vegetables, and lots of mayo were mixed up together. Then there would be the argument about whether to put peas or not to put peas.
No, you don't
luckily,
like peas.
I don't like them, but luckily my family recipe never had peas in them. Then, of course, do you put the mustard wala mayo or do you put a regular wala mayo? My mother believed that the mustard mayo made it look not very white and therefore not Russian salad-y enough. So green grapes, chopped apples, okay? Boiled cubed potatoes, boiled cubed orange carrots, not red ones, and French beans, which had been kind of cut into pieces like this. All boiled separately, cooled, mixed together with the fruit, the mayo, salt, pepper, a little extra salt, pepper for the vegetables. And if you felt like it, the secret ingredient, of course, was a little Tabasco or Capsico.
For the chili.
You didn't get the Tabasco always in Bombay. Mm. And it was, you know, if Dad had brought some from sea, then we had Tabasco.
They're very expensive, man.
Yeah, very expensive those days also. So we'd use Capsico, which was made by Dabur. And pretty good
stuff. The green one, yeah. And I've also seen that you know, a lot of old school Irani cafes, bakeries, and of course the Goan ones, and a few of the Muslim ones also, like A1 and all that. I mean, Harsh, Candies, in Excelsior, Paradise, which is most famous for it, have this you know, chicken roll, which is a sub, and with mayo. So which also made me wonder, because even in Candies, they used to tell me that Mrs. Pereira used to make mayo at home. And which made me wonder that, is it sort of a bit of an equivalent for, say, pickle making in a Hindu family? Like, you know, you have all these stories of Punjabis and this, that about it.
Pickle making.
Yeah, chutney. But basically, that's the condiment made at home.
Yeah.
But would the Irani cafe mayos and all this have egg in it in the old days?
Yes, only. So the concept of a vegetarian mayo was anathema for the longest time. Even today...
Till the brands came in.
I don't know anybody who makes their own vegetarian mayo. You buy it from Fun Foods or whatever. It comes in these big 1 kg.
Oh, bags. You're saying that even now in the, say, maybe the Jain, Marwari, vegan families, they don't make...
Nobody makes...
Why? Is it difficult? Is it difficult to emulsify
it's
and make?
Tricky to make, and you need to use milk powder in one recipe to make it. Another European recipe that is eggless actually uses egg white powder. I don't know how that makes eggless. But whatever. So, different strokes for different folks. But traditionally, all of them would make their own mayo and it would be with egg. So, if you ask for eggless mayo in a place like Bastani or Kayani, they probably throw it out. You know, viciously throw it. So, you know, Kalyan, the best place for this mayo was actually Bastani. Bastani opposite Kayani at Metro did a mutton roll. I swear to you, even today.
With mayo, is it?
Roll,
oh, mutton roll with mayo.
Mustard mayo and that one slice, one leaf of lettuce.
Yeah, what was it that? It's just one leaf.
I hated that because when you pulled at your study roll, that leaf would come out.
Even Harsh Bakery has that one leaf. And
so my first chicken mayonnaise roll, surprisingly, was in Panchkani. And there was a beautiful little... a shop called Russo's in Panchkani at the Circle. And my aunt Jaru actually introduced me to the chicken roll. And right from the beginning, I was sure I didn't want the lettuce in it after my first chicken roll. But I went back home and I said, Mom, how come we don't make chicken roll? And she looked at me and said, it's the same thing as chicken sandwich in a roll. I was like, that's why it tasted familiar.
So sometimes in Candies I used to do that. If the sandwich, chicken sandwich is not there, the chicken roll, same filling, but of course different texture. There's, you know, softer bread.
Also, you know, the fun thing is egg mayo. So to me, boiled egg is a garnish or goes into deviled eggs and salads and things like that, or it makes a sandwich. Boiled egg is not a breakfast thing. I know a lot of people love boiled eggs for breakfast and rolling them and eating them. I've done it at buffets where there's nothing else.
Yeah.
Vegetarian buffet for breakfast.
Yeah. But we used to we never have hard boiled egg, either soft or quarter.
No.
That's just British way. Okay, I must tell you about the chicken roll, the great chicken roll dhoka, which I had. So early days in Mumbai, I just left home and moved here, missing home and everything about home. And then this friend of mine, Gagan, colleague, who was at that time staying at YMCA. So we were at Colaba for some reason, or maybe we were watching a movie and stuff. So he said that, let's go to, what's this place? Piccadilly? No, not Piccadilly, which is the one right beside, opposite Beagle, you know?
Chiquita.
Chiquita. Okay, so let's go to Chiquita. And then so we went to the sandwich and I said, okay, the menu and the sandwich and this, that. Now sandwich and Chiquita, I don't know, because later I learned it's a pickup joint, so whether it involved any massages. So I saw chicken roll. Chicken roll, dada, one chicken roll please, double egg, whatever. So then I'm sitting and I'm very happy, I finally found I found my love back again in China. So what I was saying, Mumbai, Bombay, as it is called. And Baba, there was a hot dog bread. And in that, there was chopped chicken, a boiled chicken. And then there was mayonnaise. I mean, I don't know if the Bengal has forgiven the Marathas for the various invasions which happened in the late sort of 19th century. But this is one thing which I will never forgive Mumbai for. Okay, I want to.
Thought you would get a kathi roll.
There's no kathi roll. I mean, I thought I'd get a chicken roll. I mean, what's a kathi roll? Kathi roll is like for those. If Scent of a Woman, how it said that if you know it that long, you will call it John or something, whatever. So, Al Pacino. Okay, listen, I'm going to we've got about 18 minutes. No, not 3 minutes. 18 minutes. And I want to bring the topic to one more thing on eggs and this thing. So, when I have the Friday, sorry, the French toast, I often wonder that, especially when it comes to these sort of modern cafes or now 5-star hotels, they are now including, especially the hotels, there's an Indian menu. So there's paratha, there's keema, poha, depending on where you are, or chole bhature or luchi and all that in Bengal. But eggs is left in the Western thing. So in the Western stuff, you have only eggs and you have, muesli and oats and stuff like that. Now, I often wondered that why was something like French toast and the Indian version of that not made in 5-stars or even cafes, because it's something which I think even the Western. No, but that's not my question. But if you want to answer, then answer that. I mean, why not? Then I'll ask you my question.
The problem with them is that, once you put masala into the pan, you can't use the pan for something like a scrambled egg or a fried egg.
You are a bloody 5-star.
You should have an extra pan. I agree.
If it's not a breakfast included thing, then the chances are that your choice of eggs breakfast is costing you 800 or 1,000 rupees with service charge, and that too the cost of the chef coming and asking you how's your egg just when it comes, and therefore you're having a cold breakfast, and the trauma for that is cannot be calculated in money, and someday I'm going to want my money back because of all the cold benedicts and everything which I've had to have.
What
because
a cold benediction.
Yeah, but
price of being an influencer and a celebrity.
I've decided I'm not going to be an influencer because I'm very bad at dance. So, so that was not my question that much as the other Indian egg thing, which has somehow made a presence and which is good because at least something, which is the akuri. So, which is, people will think of the Parsi scrambled egg. And you'll find it in cafes in Mumbai, upscale cafes. And you'll find it in luxury hotels. I even saw it in Trident and Gurgaon. So not just Bombay. Wow. Yeah, so not just... So probably, the Oberoi's, Taj's and all that would be, they sort of farm out their recipes when something does well across the chain. But what people don't get is that the akuri is not the anda bhurji, which is an Indian scrambled egg with masala, you know, which is like, you know, tightly this so, thing. So the akuri and so it's very difficult, I've seen, to satisfy Parsis, like even my wife and all that, with either an akuri or even a scrambled egg. So do you want to tell us, Kurush, how we Indians so get it wrong? How we Indians get it wrong?
An anda burji is not a scrambled egg or an akuri.
But to us Indians, I mean, to us non-Parsi Indians, while growing up, scrambled egg was like, you know,
is basically like a paneer burji in an egg version. Think of it as an egg version of a paneer burji, then you'll stop thinking of it as a scrambled egg.
Or maybe like a keema, except that keema is not like keema.
Ghotala. It's basically an anda ghotala of sorts. Though an anda ghotala normally has a burji and some grated boiled egg into it. It's a very bizarre animal in its own right.
So why are you Parsis so fixated on the scrambled egg, the Western one, as well as akuri, while we Indians are very happy with what we get? So, I mean, we non-Parsi
Indians. Have you had an Indian omelette?
Yeah, the poro, the marmalade, you know, the Dungarbari poro. You get the best ones.
The poro. The poro is another animal again in its own right.
But so I'm saying it's cooked, right? Well,
omelette is thin. It's made up of beaten eggs, a lot of onion, tomato, chili powder,
a lot of stuff happening. Powder, yeah.
Green chilies, kothmir inside it, depending on what you'd like to mix and match. And it's laid out thin. And it is slightly overcooked to dehydration.
Yes. I wonder why, but...
Now, a Parsi poro, on the other hand, must have adu lasan in it.
Which is ginger and garlic. For
ginger garlic paste, which makes it dark brown when it's done. And it must be thick. Okay? It must be thick. So the inside is still soft even when it's fully cooked.
And this is how you guys are very particular about the scrambled egg, which is how it actually is meant to be.
Egg,
but we were grown up having tight scrambled egg.
So scrambled eggs must be made in butter or ghee, must have eggs, must have milk or cream, and must have only a little bit of salt in them. And you make it slowly.
Yeah, so that's a problem with a lot of luxury hotels, is that they have an egg station, right? And where they make, and people queue up. So they offer scrambled eggs there. And until one gets married to a Parsi and one knows no better, one is happy with that. But once you are, then you realize the scrambled eggs are different and you start appreciating it. And there are some cafes and all who sort of get it right. So now there are a lot of hotels which actually take live orders, even if you're in a buffet thing. And they make you a scrambled egg, which is proper. So shouldn't hotels actually say, no, we will not make scrambled egg in our egg station? Because you can't make a scrambled egg in an egg station.
Shouldn't.
Yeah, so why...
So sadly, what happens is Indians don't like anything cooked al dente or soft. We believe that it is
kacha. It's kacha. Unhygienic.
You want your omelette made into a papad, as in virtually. You want your burji cooked till every bloody gray, all your egg is grainy and little grains dispersed in it. And you want your scrambled eggs very similarly. So when you get a creamy scrambled egg, which is cooked through, but is still soft. You look suspiciously at it as though it is raw. Similarly,
and then you think that your motions the next day will be like that as well.
So I've had people tell me, you know, I went abroad and asked for an omelette in the morning at the egg station. And they gave me this thing, which when I cut into it, it was squishy and wobbly inside.
As it is, this steak, you cut into the steak and blood comes out.
Blood comes out of the steak. Oh my God. So it's basically a different way of looking at things. And Parsis are more British than the British.
We Bengalis say that we are British. So if you're saying that you are more British than the British, then perhaps that makes sense. I mean,
my dear boy.
Okay, listen, we've got about 8 minutes and I want to do some good through the human species through that. So Kurush, in 8 minutes, tell people what an ideal akuri should be, so that all these young people who are going into catering college and then, you know, going into, you know, hotels, OCLD and, you know, ITC training, this, that, whatever. In that akuri class, their professors will take a snippet of this and, you know, show it.
Okay.
So Kurush Dalal, Dr. Kurush Dalal, 5 minutes on what is a perfect akuri. At the end of 5 minutes, I'm going to cut you.
Done, sir. So, what is a nakuri? First of all, for a nakuri, you must have your entire mise en place ready if you want to make a proper akuri. You cannot make an akuri on the fly. So, you chop your onions, you dice them finely, and you put them aside. You dice your tomatoes, you put them aside. You chop your green chilies, you put them aside. You chop your coriander, you put it aside. Now, you start building your eggs. So, you crack your eggs, beat them up with a little salt and let them sit. And that actually works on the egg and helps break down the egg protein, etc., etc., and makes for a better, softer, fluffier egg. You add a dash of milk to the eggs when you beat it up and you leave it aside with your salt in it. Okay? Now, you chop up a little bit of fine garlic, or if you're a very Parsi grandmother, you'll probably use a spoon of ginger garlic paste. But I don't like ginger garlic paste. I like a little bit of garlic. The options in a good akuri are curry leaves. You can finely slice curry leaves and keep them ready or not. Now, put your oil in. Use a neutral oil. You don't have to make them in ghee or butter. You'll lose that flavor. Nice neutral oil. You put your onions in and you brown your onions. When your onions have started browning, okay, you don't stop. You keep browning. You have browned little diced onions. When they've started to really start caramelizing is when you put your tomato in, you put your garlic in, you put your green chilies in, and you cook it all for the next 10 minutes or so at medium to low heat. To this, you add chili powder, turmeric, and a Parsi garam masala preferably. Or any garam masala, even an Everest garam masala will do. It's not a bad idea at all. Okay? You add a little bit of salt here and you start now cooking this down. You add your curry leaves here. You add half your coriander that you've chopped. And you mix this all in to make the base. What you're doing is making the base for your akuri, and you cook this slowly till the oil separates from your vegetable base that you've created. Once the oil starts separating, you give it one turn up of the heat and then you put it on very low, beat your eggs up a little bit again and gently pour them in, stirring continuously all the time. And then without raising the temperature, with all the infinite patience that cooks usually don't have, you keep stirring your akuri and you keep stirring your akuri, preferably from outside, inside and outside, inside, till the what we call the egg curd starts forming. The egg starts forming into pieces of cooked, creamy, streaky eggs. And you keep folding it into the center till you get your desired consistency. Now, it's never as dry as a bhurji, but there are various ways in which you can make it. You can make it less or more loose. It's a family thing. Do not leave it in the pan. Do not leave it in the pan. It continues to cook. It also continues to cook when you take it off the pan. So preferably pour it out into a bowl, garnish it with your leftover coriander, and immediately put it up to serve. This is not something that you can eat cold. Okay? So it should be made and done. You can actually make your vegetable base. What I normally have done is I have it made in large quantities and I keep it in the fridge. So I can scoop it out, warm it up, and quickly put my eggs on top of it. And that saves me a lot of time in the mornings. But I have staff to do this at Katie's Kitchen, so I can. If you can prep this a night before, it'll be a really sumptuous breakfast the next morning. Either gutli pav or brun pav with butter is the preferred bread with it. And it really works that way. So I've done this in 4 minutes. Guys, this is the akuri masterclass. And that in 4 minutes because there's something we did, two things we didn't talk about. One is the dimer jhol with the Bengal. Something I've become quite fond of, which my wife makes. And she also makes it with duck eggs when we get them.
So and the egg boiled eggs have to be slightly sorted before they put in.
And the boiled eggs slit on the outside. You can slice them on
so the masala goes
in. You must fry them a little bit in mustard oil before you slide them into the jhol.
So it should have that little naughty touch to it. Not like the, you know, the eggs which go into a Parsi egg curry, which is
leathery,
like, you know,
slightly leathery finish to the outside, bumpy finish.
Leathery, nahi. I'm going to say slightly seductive. Like, not a bhalo mein. Not a bhalo
mein. So, a little bit of stubble. Not a clean shape. And
no, yeah. I'm trying to think of seductive. You're thinking of like, come on.
So, you know, a demerit jhol with hot rice is a delight.
Hmm.
But the Bengalis also have something else called a dim shed do. And that is something that you must hear Kalyan tell you about.
Well, dim shed do technically means boiled egg, and what is the big fuss about it? But we've actually grown up having something which, you know, we call bhate. We used to call it fana bhat in our house. In fact, there were days when, like, you know, parents were too tired and my dad would make fana bhat and say, just khabe to khao, nahi to mat khao, which is the only time he was strict with me. And then mom made it often for us. So it's basically like, fan means the starch of the rice. So you're cooking, you're boiling rice. And then in that rice, you would also put in some potatoes. And any vegetables, you know, that can vary. That in winter, it'll be cauliflower. You know, you can put even, my mom would put okra or bhindi in it, or carrots and whatever. And the egg. So she would wash the surface of the egg so that there's nothing and put the egg with the rice and then cook it. So it's like a one pot thing. And then, you know, we Bengalis normally drain out the starch. But here, even if there's a lot of starch and you drain off a bit, you keep some of it. So it's not very soupy, but it's got that, you know, a little watery.
Slightly wet consistency.
Yeah, yeah. And then you take the egg out and you deshell it. And then you put the rice on the plate and, you know, the egg on the side. And in our house, because we were, you know, bilet firoth, it would be butter. But normally it should be like not even ghee, mustard oil. And there should be salt on the side, like kachanu. Like, damn your blood pressure or whatever. And then the joy of, you know, breaking the egg and the kushun, adding a bit of salt and that hot rice and the fan and cooking out. I mean, it's like, you know, amazing stuff. So, yeah, I mean, we can keep talking on eggs because we are two good eggs. But, okay, so that's bad joke number 5 for the episode done. And so what should I outrage about? I mean, this entire thing about eggs, whether it's veg, non-veg or whatever. But the fact is that when it comes to food writing, egg is often given a bit of a side role. You know, it's the best supporting actor. Well, not in the film which Kurush and I will make someday, you know. And in that film, the egg will be Amitabh Bachchan, the Dilip Kumar,
like Jai and Veeru, Stallone. Our Shole will have
2 eggs.
Beam and Edu.
or you know, the sweet and salty French toast. So with that, this is Kurush Dalal and Kalyan Karmakar signing off. We're just two guys who love to talk on food. We have no idea when we start off what the topic is going to be about. But this is it. We spoke about eggs. If you liked it, then share it. If you don't like it, then share it so that you can mock it. But we need the views.
Be good eggs or bad eggs, but hit the subscribe button.
And then like and all of that.
Spread it around.
Yeah. And I'm going to use this recipe this afternoon. I'm going to make akuri for Kainaz. And my birthday is coming up, so I need to sort of get her into good mood to get a good gift. Okay, chalo. And if the akuri turns out well, full credit to you, Kurush. If it doesn't, I will just keep quiet. Let her watch this later. Just come. Take care, man. Bye. Bye.
See you, folks.
And may the force be with your eggs.
Totally.